there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Wednesday, December 4, 2014. As I record today's program, the price of oil is falling again today. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning that Saudi Arabia now believes that oil prices will stabilize at $60 a barrel. Well, what has sparked this extraordinary sudden collapse in the price of crude oil? Is it a normal market correction? Is it a sign that the world's economy is stalling and demand is rapidly slowing down? Is the West attempting to drive Russia into an economic collapse? Some experts have speculated that we have not reached bottom yet and oil could fall to as low as $30 per barrel. Michael Snyder, writer of the Economic Collapse blog, wrote today that the six largest banks are holding nearly $4 trillion in commodity derivative contracts, and the biggest chunk is made up of oil derivatives. Michael points out that oil producers have locked in a price of $90 to $100 per barrel, and Michael's asking some troubling questions about what will happen to several trillion dollars worth of oil derivative contracts if oil drops to super low prices and stays there. Another very alarming news report today was published by Bloomberg News. As the Russian currency collapses due to the fall in oil prices, Vladimir Putin is scrambling to keep the Russian economy from a free fall. Today, he offered amnesty to Russian businessmen and women who have their wealth in banks outside of Russia. They can now repatriate their wealth to the motherland without facing criminal and tax penalties. More troubling in this Bloomberg article were Mr. Putin's references to Western leaders as Nazis. His reminder to the West that the Russian army repelled the Nazi invasion and that Russia will never be brought down. And also his claim that Crimea is sacred and is considered to be Russia's Jerusalem. Now, I've been reporting and analyzing global news for over 15 years, but I must admit to you that in late 2014, it appears to me that the world is now in free fall. The Western economic and political system is coming apart at the seams. We are staring at an economic collapse, a colossal collapse, a world war, and possibly a worldwide plague. This is a very, very dangerous time. My guest today is an expert on analyzing the enormous events and changes taking place in the world's financial architecture. He publishes an astonishing newsletter every month called The Hat Trick Letter. His website is goldenjackass.com. The man is Jim Willie, and he's on the phone right now. Jim, welcome back to True News.
Oh, it's good to be back. It's been a while, and we have no shortage of events, do we?
No, we don't.
And now we're starting to see that the events are systemic game changers. We're seeing the global paradigm shift take place before our eyes in rather unmistakable ways. I'm glad Putin is saying the things he is. At the Sochi speech about 3 weeks ago, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he made direct open references to the New World Order and implicit references to the Rothschild Central Bank cabal. I'm glad he did. It's now a little more in the open, but gosh, I wonder how few Americans really are aware that Vice President Biden gave a commencement speech at the U.S. Air Force Academy. It's around June 1st. And he made open, direct references to the New World Order like it was a good thing. I'm just astonished when these things happen on even U.S. soil. Americans give their respectful applause, and I don't think they have a clue of what's going on. New World Order is global totalitarianism, a fascist state, individual rights totally abrogated, and now Putin is coming out and making direct references to how the Nazis, I shouldn't say direct, he's making implicit references to how the Nazis were never removed, they were just displaced, and now they've risen again. I believe the U.S. neocon political movement, it's a wing within the Republican Party, I regard it as neo-Nazi. I don't care about names. I care about actions. I care about policies. I care about tactics. And these are Nazis. We've got a U.S. takeover after 9/11, the Patriot Act. It's a Nazi takeover. And people really need to see what's going on and understand that these leaders in the West, they're Western Europe and, you know, European Commission, Union Commission and the UK and the United States. This is the fascist center. They're trying to establish totalitarianism. I think they're trying to take down the European economy right now. But we need to understand that these actions are late in the game. And we're seeing an attempt to totally reshape the democratic order. There's no representation of the people in the Congress. I like to just point out one particular event, and it was the Dodd-Frank financial regulatory bill. It was started in early 2009. By the time it was done, it really didn't look like the original draft attempt because Citigroup and Goldman Sachs got their hands on it, and they started rewriting provisions, and they made a little compromise. The only thing that really lasted in there was the Ron Paul independent audit of the Federal Reserve, where we learned that there were two gigantic blocks of loans totaling $23 trillion to owners and friends and family of the Federal Reserve board members. So this is late in the game. This is very late in the game. And now I'm noticing, Rick, an amazing perception. I'm not amazed at my own perception. I'm just saying that this is an amazing sequence where one should properly perceive most of the very important big events as having a hidden gold angle, starting with Cyprus. Cyprus is where the Russians were using their treasury bonds and converting to gold. There haven't been any gigantic sweep of bail-ins. That's the false story. I mean, gosh, it's everywhere. Libya was not about liberating the country. It was about disconnecting Gaddafi from his 144 tons of gold that are still sitting in London. Well, probably sold. But we needed them. So if the Nazi cabal of bankers, which is linked with a number of different other organizations like the news networks and the defense industries and, I don't know, other things, logistics, I wonder, why was Jon Snow selected by the Bush 2 administration as a Treasury Secretary? He was from CSX Railroad. You know, you need to think about what is going on. Why would that be? Well, he's for distribution and logistics for the narcotics. They're not difficult to discern, but we're in a late stage here, and I was told back in June that the gardeners, it's actually a formal project. The gardeners are out there working, Rick. They're cleaning things up, shutting back doors, preventing the cabal from doing their escape routes. And the cleanup could involve some extermination. I mean, there are a lot of cockroaches in the garden. This is extraordinarily dangerous times, but I think we can pretty safely dismiss certain tools as being available anymore, like nuclear weapons and HAARP weather control and earthquake weapons and Ebola. Ebola left the news as quickly as it entered.
Jim, I think the most stunning interview I've ever conducted in 15 and a half years was shortly after the September 11 attacks. Prior to the attack, in July of 2001, there was a report. It was first appeared in the Moscow Times, when that website was still a fairly good source of news in Russia, printed in English. And it said that a economic advisor to the Kremlin, and her name was Tatiana Karagnia, she told the Duma in a hearing that there would be an attack on the United States of America in August of 2001, that Russians should get their money out of the United States. And she went into detail about this attack. And so I reported it on this program in July 2001, and I said to my audience, heads up, something big's coming. And then the attacks came. The attacks came in September, and she said, "I was off by 2 weeks." So we contacted her. We obtained her home telephone number, and I called her at her house. And I had a Russian interpreter with me, and I interviewed her for 1 hour. Again, this woman was an advisor to Putin. He was, you know, president at the time. I asked her all these questions. Of course, I asked her how she knew about the attack. I knew she wasn't going to tell me, but she said she was an expert on the shadow government. I think that's the phrase she used. She was an expert on the shadow government. And she said the 9/11 attacks were organized and financed by a cabal. That was the term she used, a cabal that consisted of secret societies, religious cults, people who controlled trillions of dollars, intelligence agencies, and criminal gangs. And when she said trillions of dollars, again, this is September, you know, I interviewed her October 2001. Back then, Jim, the idea of somebody controlling trillions of dollars, that was such a far-out idea. I was like, who's got trillions of dollars, you know? But she said, no, these people... Yeah, Papa Bush. But, you know, I asked her, I said, what was the purpose of the attacks? Because she said that the you know, the hijackers were just the hired thugs who were brought in to, you know, carry out this attack. And she said the purpose was to crash the American economy. And they were surprised that the American economy did not fall when the trade centers fell. And I said, what are they going to do? And she said, they're going to continue to attack you until your system falls. And I said, what is the end game? And she said, they have their own currency, their own system they're going to introduce when the American system falls. That was an amazing interview, 2001, by somebody in the Kremlin who clearly knew what was taking place. So here we are now, 2014, Jim, and you know, you've been following this, the economic side of it, far deeper than I have, because I gotta monitor all this stuff happening. And you know, I'm a generalist. You're a specialist on the economics. But are we at the point right now? This thing is coming to a head. I mean, are we right now witnessing it is coming to a head? The New World Order agenda, it's coming to a head. Both sides know it. Both sides are got their guns ready. The shootout is about to happen.
Well, I think we're at a point of climax, but if anyone thinks that the cabal and the totalitarian state is going to come into being, I think they're wrong.
I do too. I think there's going to be a very violent pushback against it.
Okay, here are just a few indicator events and steps that I've been fortunate enough to get wind of. I got to take some notes because these are a little bit complicated and hard to keep all straight. I'm going to start in chronological order. When people ask me, when is the U.S. financial system going to break down? I say, well, there was an explosion in 9/11, and it pretty much broke down in September of 2008, so it's not a future event you need to look forward to. And the fact that it broke down in 2008 was not evident by a layman failure. It was evident, made evident by the follow-on move to 0%, and then the follow-on move toward the QE. So QE means life support. Okay. Then in 2011, I came to learn this just about a month ago. We focus on the events of the Germans requesting their gold back from the New York Fed in, let's just say 2011. I don't have the exact date. I think it was the middle of the year, 2011. Okay. I'm usually a very inquisitive fellow. I didn't ask, well, why'd they do that? I was thinking at the time, well, Germany wants their gold back. They must see that the gold markets are kind of messed up and controlled and interventions everywhere and a lot of naked shorting and the COMEX is not an honest broker anymore and a lot of, games regarding deliveries of gold off the ramp. They just don't take place. So that's where I left it. Well, a couple of months ago, I came to learn that the Germans are now the big focal point that I think will decide the fate of the cabal bankers, and that's how important Germany is right now. Deutsche Bank's under fire. But the Germans were given a U.S. State Department briefing in early 2011. It was about the future plan for Ukraine. This is 2011. They were told in 2 or 3 years there's going to be a plan put in action to cut the dependence between the Europeans and Russia for energy supply. And it's to isolate Russia because Russia's not playing the game anymore and they're not going to be able to fold them into the total network system, just think the cabal. So somehow the U.S. State Department made a decision that Russia was not going to be included in the new chapter and was going to be cut off using the natural gas pipeline as the cord. And the Germans said to the State Department, are you out of your minds? A few days later, they asked for their gold back. Now, it's really important to look at the major events, but it's also really important at the same time to look at what motivated some of these big, important events. Germany has not been aligned with the United States for at least 3 years. I think there were a lot of rumblings back then for the Germans working toward a gold-backed currency. And I heard from The Voice, who's got very good connections in Central Europe, and part of the proof of his excellence is the Swiss bankers hate him. That's good. But the indications were that back in 2009, the Germans were the central focal point of coming up with a new gold-backed euro. The Deutschmark was going to make a return in effect. They were going to call it the Nordic euro. The Dutch, the Austrians, and the Finns were right behind them. And the pigs at that time, the pigs nations, were about to break down. So there were too many different events in the subsequent months. I'm talking about middle of 09. In the subsequent months, the pigs' sovereign debt went dead, starting with Greece, but did not end with Greece. It went to Italy, Spain, Portugal. And I think if you look at definitions, criteria of events from events, in terms of events, I don't see any difference between France and the pigs nations. So we got a lot of events going on, and the most recent telling, enormous event was a deal was struck with well over 120 nations in late 2013 to do a currency reset. I'm not talking about the Vietnam dong. I'm not talking about even the Iraqi dinar. I'm talking about a reset of the forex currencies relative to goal, and that's the part they never really completed in their description. Reset of the currencies relative to gold. In other words, double the gold price. That was the deal made in late 2013. The United States agreed to it and then broke the agreement and offered a Ukraine war. These things are all tied together, and most of the events have a very big gold bearing. Dangerous times, Rick.
Yes, it is. Jim, why is the price of oil suddenly in free fall?
Because the dollar is in free fall rise. Okay, just take example of, say, four or five different companies, financial firms, et cetera. A big Pakistani firm is realizing they got a lot of cash that's loose. The currency is falling. Currencies are in turmoil. Let's hunker in with the dollar. Okay, a French firm says we're in trouble. The euro is getting weird. It's being supported by this Draghi central bank. We've got controversy with the Bundesbank. Let's hunker down and find safety in the dollar. An Australian firm says we've got a lot of loose cash. We don't know what to do with it. Our Australian currency is in trouble. We have a lot of different things going on. We may get an assault from the U.S. with our close ties with China. And the Australians decide, let's hunker down in the dollar. The Brazilians have all kinds of trouble. They know they have a BRICS initiative coming up. But there's a lot of loose money running around. They decide, let's put it in the dollar. So with all the turmoil, and let's not forget, 3.5 full years or more of QE. QE is unsterilized bond monetization, which means they print money. They don't take money elsewhere out of the banking system. And the new money is devoted directly to buying treasury bonds covering the U.S. government debt, including the rollovers. The consequence is dire. They talk about it being stimulative. It is only stimulative in the financial sector. It is deadly to capital because it raises the cost structure. It does not raise prices everywhere. It forces a great deal of hedging into hard assets, commodities, and other hedgeable items that reprice. And the repricing is the key there, which means that all the different various elements of the cost structure rise and everything else does not. And profits are squeezed and businesses are shut down. We're seeing it in hundreds of examples, like the bankruptcy imminent for Sears Roebuck, the old Sears Roebuck. Anyway, so with this global phenomenon of turmoil on the financial side, they're hunkering down into the treasury bond because they see a permanent backstop on it, and it's rising. Now, we hear all these stories about, oh, the U.S. government's trying to harm Russia with a lower oil price. I think it's a bunch of rubbish, Rick. Pure rubbish. U.S. is seeing the rise in the dollar, and it's surprising them. And they are now suffering from the consequence of all the Forex vehicles, instruments, tools, cable lines that work in counteractive fashion to pull down all the things that are negatively correlated with the dollar, namely gold and oil. They've gotten away for a long time with the pull down in gold because they don't have an honest market there, and you know it's paper dominated, and the COMEX and LBMA, they're all, you know, very corrupt organizations that don't deliver on the gold futures contracts, ditto for silver, but they're not going to get away with it for oil. I believe the falling oil price is not part of their plan. They're coming up with a propaganda story that says, well, we're trying to harm Russia. Isn't it good that, you know, the West is bringing down the price of oil? You know, we're going to see a benefit in the U.S. economy for lower costs. And, you know, isn't it great? We're going to really whack those Russians, which we're isolating. Now, the U.S. is going to succeed in isolating 95% of the world. In other words, they're going to isolate themselves as 95% of the world unites. This gold and oil decline is an endgame symptom. The falling oil price is going to cause incredible havoc. Big oil companies now are cutting their budgets, cutting their exploration spending, cutting their CapEx, cutting their dividends, and finding a great deal of difficulty in earning a profit for their bigger shareholders who don't like getting angry.
You know, Al Gore said today that this is the end of the fossil fuel industry.
Well, it could be, but let's look. The last point on this oil is the shale oil is the marginal element. The U.S. has been boasting for 3 years about the increased production from shale, some of the difficulties in refining the lighter grade of viscosity, so the refineries are not quite up to the task. So huge amount of margin. I mean, I got a statistic the other day. Since 2009, 85% of all increase in oil production worldwide is from shale, from fracking, shale. 85% in the last 6 years, 5 years. That's huge. So you think the United States is going to harm the Rockefeller industries and harm the shale and cause a new subprime fracture, not fracking, but fracture of the high-yield fracking shale bonds? No. No. What they're doing is they're coming up with a revision of strategy to make it sound like we're trying to harm the Russians with a lower oil price. We're not going to succeed. We're going to kill ourselves. We're going to kill our own big oil and shale marginal oil production. We're going to kill ourselves.
Is the U.S. dollar running up? Is there a rally in the dollar before a massive fall?
No, not before a massive fall, before a vanishing event. I've been saying for 3 years, you'll know we're in the late, late stage when the dollar rises, then rises some more amidst turmoil, and then dies. The fact that the dollar is rising so much indicates that the global financial structure is having a gigantic heart attack. The dollar's not going to fall. It's going to disappear. It's going to be replaced. And that's not the only thing that's going to be replaced, I'm hearing. And I'm not saying this is a certainty, but I don't believe the Obama administration is going to finish their term. I don't think the Obama administration is going to finish 2015.
Why's that?
Going to be removed.
By who? Certainly not John Boehner.
Not by the U.S. government.
Do you want to give us some clues?
How about a simple clue that the Constitution has been trampled, shredded, and pissed on?
All right. So who's going to have the wherewithal to enforce the Constitution?
What happens in banana republics when the leader goes astray?
Well, there's usually an uprising.
Well, there's usually more than an uprising. There's usually a government.
The military?
Takeover.
Like a military?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the United States a third world banana republic?
Well, we're certainly acting like one.
Exactly.
So you think the conditions are ripe for the U.S. military to step in and say, this is out of control, we're self-destructing?
Certainly seems to fit the pattern for a third world nation that's gone too far astray. I'll say this. The Pentagon is not alone. I can't confirm some of these things. It's not like, well, you know, I looked it up and mm-hmm. It's true. You can't do that. This is way beyond that. This is stuff that'll be in the history books 100 years from now. And
would a military takeover be a good or a bad thing?
Well, remember my hint. The Constitution has been trampled on, shredded, and pissed on. The purpose is to reinstall the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. And in the Constitution, how do they define money?
Gold and silver.
So, politically it's the Constitution, financially it's the gold standard. Is this bad?
No, it actually sounds inviting. If they carry through and actually restore the Constitution. I want to go back to what you said earlier, that the U.S. dollar won't fall, it will disappear. And I think most of our listeners, that you know, there was a kind of a double look at that moment. It was like, wait a minute, how, why would it disappear if it doesn't fall? They equate the elimination of the dollar with the crash of the dollar. But you're saying it's going to be, it's going to be going up, up, up in value, and that is what brings about its removal.
Its removal is from an uprising of all nations that they're not going to tolerate the paper currency system anymore, and we're going to the gold standard, and the dollar disappears, it's not a reserve currency anymore. Poof! It's gone! And the U.S. has to come up with its own domestic currency. I'm hearing the name of the Treasury dollar. I have a better name, cash dollar. Cash is German for, you know, a certain word pertaining to defecation.
Right.
So, the big question should be, when the U.S. reverts to a domestic currency and loses its privileged credit card, I mean, these wars, Iraq and Afghanistan have cost $6 trillion. When you factor in all the medical and, you know, prosthetics and things that the Veterans Administration and health care and all the stuff for the soldiers, $6 trillion. Okay, where do we pay for that? We just tack it onto the Treasury debt, U.S. government debt. Why did they eliminate the limit in September of last year? The limit on the debt is no longer relevant. Why is that? I think it's because U.S. government defaulted on its debt already. Debt limits don't mean anything if there's no more enforcement of that debt and we're really in a liquidation phase that has not been well publicized.
Jim, last summer when the Federal Reserve announced that they were ending quantitative easing, immediately after that announcement, Japan announced it was ramping up quantitative easing. And my first reaction was, oh, I get it. The Fed is outsourcing money printing to Japan. Is that what happened?
Exactly. It's just a shell game. When I heard the news that they were ending QE and it was successful, I said, gosh, it sounds like, you know, that rooftop scene in Saigon, Vietnam, where we announced victory, declared victory, and got out.
So the Fed printed trillions and trillions of dollars, and then they said, okay, we've run this up as far as we can go. Okay, Japan, you guys do it for a while. Let's keep this system inflated as long as we can go.
It's a little bit more twisted than that. The U.S. Department of Treasury said, we see that you've got $1.2 trillion over there in Tokyo for your government pension funds, and we want it fully devoted to buying Treasury bonds. So in order to compensate for that, you go ahead and announce unlimited QE. In other words, the Fed exported QE. Now, I thought, okay, if that is the case, we're going to get a quick confirmation in a sharply declining yen exchange rate, and that's precisely what we got.
So the banker boys at the Fed robbed the Japanese pension fund.
Look, since World War II, Japan has been a vassal state. They do exactly what they're told. In fact, it's far more devious than that. The Langley crew hired the Yakuza, which is their mafia in Japan, to enforce, compliance and obedience and subservience to the Fed. So the Bank of Japan does exactly what we tell them to do, or else they start taking flying lessons without parachutes out of high-story windows. So the Japanese, I believe in 1991, took Wall Street orders to go to 0%. Japan knew it would be devastating, but they were on orders. And they launched the yen carry trade, which enabled Wall Street and Japanese and British banks to make $1 trillion a year doing nothing. So this is the end result. Here we are 23 years later, and Japan is going to enter a collapse. Because their yen has gone down, now they're going to have extreme disruptions for their export industry. Their cost structure is rising. Let's not even touch Fukushima, if you don't mind. Their energy costs are going up. They got new taxes. And the U.S. tool called Abe, A-B-E, their prime minister, I think might get booted in the next few weeks. So we got a lot of turmoil in Japan, but let's focus on the yen for a minute. If their yen is going down, then all the Japanese industries that do heavy exporting to the West and to Australia, it's all around the world, they're a huge export nation. So the Japanese are going to gain an advantage on price. The Chinese and the Koreans will not tolerate that. So we're likely to see some very big disruptions in the form of a trade war or some kind of a twisted financial war. Because I don't think China is going to say, well, let's bring our currency down 10%. I don't think they're going to do that. I think the Koreans are going to bring down their currency, even the Chinese are going to say, let's step this up to the gold standard. The gold trade standard for settlement of bilateral trade and the gold standard for currency backing. I think the Chinese are going to redouble their schedule and efforts toward getting rid of the fiat currency. Now, when the yen goes down, what does that mean? The dollar goes up. If the Korean won is forced down, what does that mean? The dollar goes up. We're going to get more elements of pushing the dollar up, Rick. And the dollar is going to go up and up and up until all these nations have said, we have had enough. Let's bring back the gold standard. We've been avoiding the big bank liquidations. Enough is enough. We're wrecking the entire world system. There's no safe place to put your savings anymore. Surpluses for nations. Japan's lost its surplus. And now they're going to enter a currency war. The United States probably told them something stupid. Like, well, you bring down the yen, you're going to gain a lot of advantages in global trade. No, what you're going to do is you're going to gain a lot of anger, Japan, with all of your East Asian powerhouse economies.
Jim, I've got about 7 minutes remaining, and I'd like you to take these remaining minutes and summarize to our audience, because you're talking today to a lot of people who have never heard you before because of all the new affiliates that we have gained in the past month or two. If anybody's around on this planet 50 years from now, 100 years from now, there are going to be historians who are going to write about what you and I and all of us are living through right now. There are two powerful forces clashing. There, we have this New World Order Nazi group that has taken control of the United States and the Western countries. It's clashing with Russia and China and other nations. There are obviously two war strategies, two scenarios. What the New World Order Nazis are seeking to accomplish, how they think their playbook will work out. And then there will be the reaction, the pushback from the other side. Take these remaining minutes and summarize what are the New World Order Nazis attempting to do and how do you think it's actually going to play out? What will the history books say 50 years from now?
I wish I had been forewarned of such a question. Pour it all out. This is an extremely difficult concept, but I'll lean on some of the biggest elements. The gold standard must come back if we want tranquility, equitability, which means fairness. The gold standard must come back. And to do that, we must liquidate the big banks. All this too big to fail big bank controversy is the banker cabal saying, no, we don't want to liquidate. We don't want to get rid of all these central banks that promote the paper currencies, the dollar, the euro, the yen, and the British pound and the Swiss franc. We don't want to get rid of them because that's their power center. That's their power vehicle. And their power center actually is the big banks. The big banks are the beneficiary of printed money. The banker cabal does not want to yield their control of the ability to print money. And I find it absolutely astonishing when I talk to intelligent people and I tell them, do you think maintaining control of a printing press machine for trillions of dollars is a sufficient justification to explain the global wars that are going on. And they say, well, I don't really know about that. Of course it is. So we've got to liquidate the big banks. The banker cabal, I'm just going to come right out and tell something that I have heard, and it is ramping up in volume and intensity. And that is, if you are to just make a list of the banker cabal leaders and principal captains, you'd probably have about, I don't know exactly, 200 or 300 different individuals. And what I'm hearing is that close to 90% of them have cut deals with the other side in order not to be exterminated. We've got some holdouts. These holdouts offered the Ukraine war. That was to upset the plan for the currency reset, which would have doubled the price of gold. You think it's a good idea for Americans to hold gold? They have no clue what's going on with money. This is going to sound really snappy, pertinent, and insolent, but sometimes I tell people, including clients, I said this just a few days ago to a client who said that my wife doesn't want to invest in gold or silver. And I said, okay, why don't you try a test? Ask the person, whoever's the one, you know, holding up progress on decision-making, define the differences between money, legal tender, and the dollar. And if you can't, in detail, you should not be in any decision-making role, period. This is the big trouble right now. Legal tender is whatever is decided upon to manage transactions and, you know, cover debts. It could be salt, as it was thousands of years ago. It could be beaver pelts, as it was 300 or 400 years ago in North America. Right now, it's a piece of garbage called the dollar. The dollar is backed by government debt and fraud in Wall Street, defended by the military with wars. What is money? Money is something that can be exchanged readily and fungible, which means, well, you've got a kilogram bar with a Russian marking, and it's got, you know, a seal of approval, and I have a Krugerrand bar, and it South Africa bar, and it's got a seal of approval, and you've got a Canadian maple bar, and you know that's got its seal of approval. And this is a U.S. bar; it's got seal. These are all fungible, exchangeable. I don't care. If someone owes me a kilogram of gold, I don't care which one of those bars is given. Fine. Permanence is another criterion of money. If a gold bar was suddenly discovered from an old Spanish galleon off the Florida coast, okay, we got a kilogram bar there. Amazing. It survived 250 years, and it's intact. Okay, so inert permanence. And there are a few other criteria, you know, easily transporting. You can, you know, escape from, let's say, Ukraine and find some haven in Hungary and then later move your way to Italy. And, well, you got your 60 little gold coins, and they're all fungible, exchangeable, recognizable, and you're off and running. Okay, that's money. And you cannot print money. You cannot, it's inert. You can't say, well, we got some stuff over here and we're going to make some money out of it. We're going to make some gold. No, you can mine it, but you can't make it with alchemy. Right? These are the criteria for money. Money and legal tender are not the same thing. Money is not what's in your wallet. That's legal tender. Unless you've got a gold coin in there. All right, and the dollar is just a device. It's not money, and it is legal tender. But it's not going to be legal tender for much longer because we've been abusing it by printing somewhere between $80 and $300 billion a month with this QE program. So we have ruined the money system. We've abused it by giving money to the Wall Street bankers and the military. You know, take a look at these $6 trillion from the two wars. Where did a giant batch of that money go but to the military contractors? They're part of the banker cabal. All right, so these banker cabal elements are now cornered. Their back doors have been shut by the gardeners. And these banker cabal's members are in desperate state to prevent being exterminated or exiled or having their money stripped away because a new money system is coming. All right. What's coming in the future, and I think the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, I think they're going to merge with some new nations called the Mint Nations. That's Mexico, Indonesia, Nigeria, and Turkey. The alliance nations with BRICS, I think it's up to something like 140 or 160 nations that have said, we're on board with your leadership initiatives, which means a return to the gold trade standard. Now, I make a point, Rick. I always try to put the word trade in there, the gold trade standard. I don't say, no, the monetary gold standard, because I think we're going to get the upending of the dollar on the trade side. You're seeing it with Russia and China. They're not going to use the dollar. We're seeing it with Russia and Europe. They're not going to use the dollar. We're even seeing it with Canada and China and Australia and China and Brazil and China. They're not using the dollar. Just this week, Uruguay and Brazil announced they're not going to use the dollar. I think Argentina soon with Brazil will not bilaterally use the dollar anymore. So all these nations, these are BRICS alliance nations. They're going toward gold trade as a standard. In other words, X trades with Y. Y trades with X. They've got a net difference. That's the bilateral trade deficit or trade surplus, depending on the nation. And they settle it with gold transfers. When we had the sanctions against Iran by the U.S. government, they very cleverly used Turkish help to secure gold that was sold to India, and India bought Iranian oil with gold. That was the prototype for the gold trade standard. That's going to be the prototype for the entire BRICS and alliance, probably plus the Mint Nations. Notice Nigeria and Indonesia are in the Mint Nations, and those are OPEC nations. So we could see OPEC fracturing here. The Saudis are doing a good job to make sure they get pretty well fractured. And I think in their turmoil, like the 15 to 20% decline in the Nigerian currency, they're going to seek alternatives. So I believe we're going to see the gold trade standard come into being on trade settlement, which will force the nations to diversify, discard, and dismiss the treasury bonds from their banking system. So by adopting a gold trade standard, they're going to dump the dollar as the global reserve, and the United States is going to be in a desperate situation to find some vehicle to pay for their imports because the treasury bonds will not be accepted. And that's when you get the launch of the new cash dollar, treasury dollar, whatever you want to call it. I call it cash dollar. No, there's going to be a new dollar, and it's going to be devaluated by 30%, followed soon after that by another 30%, unless they can find a global donor of 10,000 tons of gold, which was approximately what Fort Knox had before Bush, Clinton, and Reuben stole it.
One of the major...
And then we're going to see the rise of the Eurasian trade zone, and the big flipping countries in there are going to be Turkey and Germany. They're already now... Germany has already made a decision to go with the BRICS new gold currency. Germany has already made a decision to exit the European Union and exit the common currency of the euro. Germany has already made these decisions. So what you're hearing from Merkel is nothing but banker propaganda claptrap that has no substance behind it. The Eurasian trade zone is coming. It's going to include South America. It's going to exclude North America, except for maybe a good portion of Canada. We will see.
Jim, will the U.S. surrender, or will it go to war in a desperate attempt to survive?
The U.S. went to war in a desperate attempt to survive several years ago. This is what Ukraine's all about, a desperate attempt to save the dollar. They not only offered a new war in Ukraine, they waited 3 weeks to steal the 33 tons of gold in the Central Bank of Ukraine, located in Kiev, with masked men speaking English, sending it off to New York.
Is this drive to start a war with Russia the reason that three secretaries of defense have walked out of the Pentagon?
It could be. It could also be that they don't want to see any more destruction on the U.S. And I believe Obama was selected in 2008 to wreck the United States, hired by the cabal to do it. I heard specifically from two sources of mine, one of them from inside the U.S. government and the security agencies, Homeland Security and CIA and U.S. military. He said Obama was selected, Jim. This was, you know, August, September. He said he was selected, and he's a nobody. He's selected to become a Langley tool, a puppet, and his job is to wreck the United States and bring about the end of the dollar. And I said, toward what end? Establishing the Western totalitarian fascist state? He said, exactly.
That's what I said on this program in 2008. It's very obvious. Nobody could do what he does by stupidity. It's by design.
Well, there's some news out of the White House. It's very disturbing, but at the same time encouraging. For the last two or three weeks, Obama has been isolating himself. I mean, he doesn't even play golf anymore. he set the record of 165 outings for golf. He set the record. He broke Bush, too. Bush, too, had a record. So that's his main agenda, besides wrecking the U.S. system. The encouraging news is that Obama has isolated himself. He's having temper tirades. He's yelling at staff. He's yelling at his boyfriend. I'm sorry, his wife. He's turned to drinking heavily, and he's very depressed. So I've asked my contacts, could it be that a few weeks ago he was told that he's going to go? And if he doesn't go quietly, he'll go feet first? These are very big questions, very big issues. History's being made now, but the dollar has come to its end. It's at the end of the road. The U.S. Fed announced an end to QE because they could not continue it anymore and maintain their image, maintain their supposed prestige. And it's so transparent what they did. They just exported QE to Japan. And now if Japan has some big bank failures that result in a contagion event to, say, London and New York and some of Western European big banks, where is the blame going to go? Go to Japan. So we not only exported QE, we exported blame for the failure of the dollar and for recognition that the U.S. government debt has been defaulted upon.
Has China foreclosed on the Federal Reserve?
I believe yes. And I believe that part of the collateral for that was the J.P. Morgan headquarters. And it's a lot more complicated than that because it's interwoven with collateralizing a rather large, could be something like, I don't know exactly, could be something like 4,000 to 5,000 tons of gold that was borrowed, leased by Wall Street in U.S. government from China on the other backside of most favored nation status granted by Clinton in his closing months of 1999. So the Chinese leased gold to Wall Street and the Department of Treasury, which is controlled by Wall Street, and it has been reneged upon. It has been defaulted upon. And the default I'm hearing took place sometime around 2007 or 9 or a little bit after that in a, you know, more of a formal, ugly scene. So as the it gets very complicated because the gold was leased in a return favor for China being given most favored nation status, which enabled enormous amounts of foreign direct investment by Western firms, just U.S. and Canadian firms alone, in a two-year period, invested $23 billion in Chinese industry. Things like that helped to bring about the renaissance in industry for China. But there was more collateral on the financial side, because China didn't trust Wall Street. They never trust the Anglo-Americans, not since the Opium Wars.
How could the Pentagon, how could the military commander sit back and do nothing as China foreclosed on the Federal Reserve?
Well, Clinton, Bush, and Obama purged something like 400 to 500 generals.
So they purged the ranks.
They purged all the ones who were in favor of constitutional defense. And the other side is called the loyalists. They're loyal to the narcotics and the banker cabal. But let me just finish this quick point. There was collateral on the gold lease from China to the United States government run by Wall Street. And it was, I believe, in the form, this is some indications given by sources of mine and in addition, you know, folks on my staff, if you will, my virtual staff. The collateral was in the form of a financial aggregate IRS secure stream bond. Think of it as a U.S. government mortgage bond. And we defaulted on it. So China has, I believe, rights for IRS tax revenue income. We lost our country. Debt default, default on a secure stream for IRS tax revenue, and now the Chinese are converting treasury bonds into hard assets. They own 60% of the commercial property of Manhattan. They own significant portions of Dallas, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and gobs of Detroit, where they're setting up industrial parks.
And if you're correct, the next foreclosure is on the Social Security numbers of 300 plus million Americans. That means we become property to the Chinese government. We become their slaves. If you like what you just heard, or I should say not like it, if you are fascinated by it and you want to know more about what is really going on in the economic system, then the newsletter you must subscribe to is the Hat Trick Letter. It is worth every dollar you need to pay for it. I read it every month. There's actually two parts to it every month. And you can subscribe to it at goldenjackass.com. The writer is the one and only Jim Willie. Thank you, Jim.
It's a pleasure being on again, Rick. These are dangerous times, but I wish people the best. They need to stop listening to the news, stop believing it, and start investing in gold and ignoring all the negative rubbish propaganda about it. It's going to be the only thing standing. I'm expecting at least 30%, perhaps 60% of Americans' wealth to vanish.
Well, let that be the last word. Well, I'm looking at late-breaking financial news reports, and all of them confirm what we just heard Jim Willie say. The European Central Bank said today it is considering a massive purchase of government bonds in early 2015. Great Britain is facing government spending cuts on a colossal scale. Bill Gross, the founder of PEMCO and the current Janus Capital executive, blasted the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan, and the European Central Bank for trying to solve the global debt crisis by piling on more debt. He said he doesn't see in his lifetime a return to normalcy. A fight broke out in the Ukrainian parliament today when members discovered that the new government gave out citizenship to foreigners and put them in the cabinet. One of the new cabinet ministers doesn't even speak the Ukrainian language. Another one worked for the U.S. State Department. But I tell you, the most important one is Vladimir Putin's speech today, in which he called the West the Nazis and said that no one, this is his quote, no one will secure military superiority over Russia. We have sufficient strength, will, and courage for our defense. Be on guard.